says this: "For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rest my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. For you will render to a man according to his word." This is the word of the Lord. God, you can grab a seat. You know, right now, there is a show on Discovery that I love. This is actually its second installment called In the Eye of the Storm. Anybody seen that in the room, or just me? Okay, that's all right. Me and my mom. That's love you, Mom. If you've not followed it, which none of you have, there were four of you in the last service. Who watches Discovery Channel but pastors, I guess. If you've not followed it, it follows the eyewitness accounts, the testimonies of people who have found themselves in the eye of a storm. These are the people who have found themselves caught up in the most terrifying situations imaginable. People who have rode out hurricanes. People who have felt the full force of tsunamis and lived to tell about it. People who have seen tornadoes leave wake of destruction in their communities and in their own personal lives. Have you ever been there before? Like stuck in a storm alone? So maybe you find yourself in something of that today. Like stuck in the wake of a storm. Stuck in the eye of a storm. Lightning cracking in your life. Thunder rolling. Maybe not literally, but in your life as you think about your circumstances and what's happened in the days past. It feels something like a storm. You know, David found himself in seasons like this. Seasons of storm. He knew what it was like to be caught in the eye of a storm. He was hunted down by a king. He was betrayed by his own son. People wanted him buried. And he personally walked through many storms in his own life that were caused by his own sin. The point is, David was acquainted with storms, and so are we. But here's what's interesting. When we read Psalm 62, you don't see David acting like many of us in the middle of our storms, right? Just wishing them away, asking God to remove them. I remember several years ago when I was in college, my brother and I came home for the weekend. It was Easter weekend. It was 2009, I believe. So I would have been a freshman my first year at the University of Tennessee. I wrapped up my classes and I came home for the holidays. My brother did the same. And here we were. It was Good Friday. My parents were still working. You remember where you were if you were in Middle Tennessee in 2009. You know that there was a tornado outbreak kind of ongoing. Well, we knew that the storms were at least forecasted to be bad, but we hadn't seen anything at our house at this point. My brother and I, we kind of kept an eye out, and that day was a very eerie day, right? You go outside, you just felt something different in the air. The sky kind of looked a little different. The clouds started to thicken and roll in. Everything got darker. The sky was kind of blotted out a little bit. There was seemed to be very little light, and then you began to hear the thunder, right? Then you began to hear the lightning. And so my brother and I, here we are, we're like 18, 19, 20 years old at the time, and so what we began to do is run through our house and get all of the pillows and throw them into my parents' closet. It was the innermost part of our home, and so we just lined the whole thing with pillows. I guess we thought we were just going to kind of bounce off the walls if this thing happened, but that's what we did. And then it got darker and the storm got more intense, and so we went in and kind of took cover in the closet. I remember you began to hear the rain pick up and the hail start. It was a terrifying situation. Again, David knew what this felt like, yet in this passage, you don't see David running around frantically. Instead, what you get from David in this text is unflinching confidence. Just confidently staring down the storm. This passage, in fact, is David caught in another. It's as if David saw something in the storm that I didn't, that we didn't, that you and I can't. You see, I believe that David had learned from the storms in his past, and they began to inform the way he saw storms in his present. How is it that David could see what was it that he saw in the storms that became something that, as he looked at the storm, it wasn't something he ran from, but something, in fact, he saw as an opportunity to learn from. Not to wish away, but to welcome because of how God had shown up in the past. And if we're going to be a people, listen to me, who can find rest in the storms of our life, I believe David has something for us in this text. Shows us something he's learned about the Lord as he's looked down the storms in his present. And so this morning, here's what I want you to see. Very first thing, there's got 3 points, and I have 3 questions I want to ask as a piece of application. The very first one is this. David came to know, as he faced the storm in his life and as he walked from storms in his past, that God alone was his rock. God alone was his rock. Verse 1 and 2 says, "For God alone, my soul waits in silence. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken." When you read through this psalm, what you notice is a lot of repetition. Listen, there's so much in this passage that we could talk about, and there's no way that we could exhaust it in our time together if you want to go to lunch today. But there's a lot of repetition in this text. One of the things that is repeated in the passage is this phrase, "God alone." God alone. Listen, in the English translation of whatever Bible you have today, we lose the meaning of repetition that wasn't lost on a Hebrew audience, on a people who understood the writing of this text in the original language. It stressed a point. That's what repetition did, right? It said, you don't need to miss this. And here's the thing that David wanted them to see, was that God alone was his rock. God alone was the place of safety. In Hebrew, when it says God alone, this phrase has a dual purpose, especially the word alone. You see, when we read alone, alone means it's a word of exclusivity, right? It means like the only thing. But in the original language, it also has another meaning. It's not simply a word of exclusivity, but it's also, in Hebrew, this affirmative word. There's an article attached to that word in the original language that means it's a declaration. It's more anthemic. Here's what I want you to hear. David believed that it wasn't just God only, but listen to me. It meant God surely. So it changes the way you read this passage. David could have said the text like this, "For God truly, my soul waits in silence. He surely is my rock and my salvation." You see, this is something that David had learned through prior storms he'd weathered. These are statements of declaration.
anthems, ropes that he held onto in the middle of the storms, things that he had stored deep within his own soul. See, when David says, God alone is my rock, I think he means both of those things. That God is the only, the sole place for us to run. Because God is the sure one who can handle whatever the storm brings. Because God is solely the place to run, he is surely the place of our safety. You know, in our lives today, there's often storms create in us this desire to look for something to give us rest, right? Something to provide answers, something to provide safety. It's easy when we walk in this room and some of you find yourself in a storm, when your kids are struggling, when your marriage is rocky, when your life is tumultuous. Listen, it's easy for us to look to something to make us feel better. Something to get out of the weather. Something to take our minds off of the chaos. Another hit, another high, another bottle, another show to cope, another thing to numb out with. Right, when we face storms in our lives, we look for something, somewhere to go, someplace to stand. And David wants us to see today that the Lord is the place to run in the middle of our storm. Listen, when the flood waters began to rise in his life, here's what David wants you to see. He wouldn't try to wade through it in his own ability. He wouldn't just try to make it out in his own grit. Here's what David wants you to see. Instead, he got to higher ground. You've heard that before. In the middle of a flood, find higher ground. David wants you to understand. I don't know if you're in a storm right now. I don't know where you walked in. But can I tell you, there's higher ground for you this morning. There's a sure place to stand. And David says, it's on the Lord alone, solely and surely. This is why he could say, for God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. See, David had a quiet confidence about him. And when you read this passage, you don't see any prayers. There's no pleas to God. This is unique in the Psalter. Especially of the ones that David writes. Often David presents his present crisis. He details or forecasts the storm in his life. He says, this is what's going on, Lord. This is how my enemies have defrauded me. This is how the people are coming after me. God, change this. Lord, do this. He prayers, please, even precatory prayers, where God says, lower the boom on them, Lord. Don't let your enemies boast before you. But not in Psalm 62. There's a quiet calm in this passage. It's a confidence that David has. David can say, my soul waits in silence because he knew where to stand. Can I ask you today, in the storms of your life, where are you standing? On what are you standing? David said, I'm resting my life on the rock. I love how Charles Spurgeon says, he says, when you're anchored to the rock, listen to me, he says, you might swing with the tide, but you won't be swept away by the tempest. So good. He says, when you're anchored to the rock, you might swing with the tide, but you will not be swept away by the tempest. He says, when you stand on the Lord, when you know where to stand, yes, the storm is real and present. And don't miss this. David felt the storm. Don't dehumanize the passage. In fact, look at this text in verse 3 through 4. He says, how long will you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall and a tottering fence? David felt battered. He goes on, he says, they only plan to thrust down, him down from his high position. He felt the thrust of the enemy. David knew what it was like to fear. David knew what it was like to be uncertain. But here's what he was certain of. No matter what the storm had, he knew where to stand. He knew where to stand. So yeah, his life might swing. Circumstances might change. But he wasn't going to be swept away because he had learned where to put his feet. I love one writer said he might be moved by the storms, but he would not be removed by the storms. Because David had a firm foundation. He believed through all of his ups and downs, God would not move. God, when he says he's a rock, he alone is a rock, he's speaking of the surety, the consistency, the immutability of God. The place of God is unchanging. He's faithful. He's consistent in his character. Your circumstances change like a weather forecast. But can I tell you, if you've stood on Jesus, if you are placing your feet on Christ, your hopes on Christ, if that's where you are placing and building your life this morning, listen, circumstances will change, but the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. David came to know that God is the only rock. But he also came to know that God is the only refuge. He alone is our refuge. See, David came to know where to stand, but he also knew where to run, where to take cover. Verse 6 and 7 says, he only is my rock and my salvation. My fortress shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge, here it is again, is God. See, David spent over... What's fascinating about these words is that David spent over 10 years, over a decade of his life on the run. He knew what it was like, man, to find a cave or a cavern for cover, a place to hide, a place to run, a place to lay low. We're going to look through this again when we study 1 and 2 Samuel. We're going to see this about David. He knew what it looked like to find refuge. But what's so interesting is as he imagines the Lord in this passage, from the storms that he had walked through, he had learned that the true safe place for his life and soul was God himself. God was the cave and cavern to hide in. God was the sure place. God was the fortress. God was the strong tower. Do you know anybody in your life that has a storm shelter? Your student pastor's in-laws have one, Caleb. I know another guy in our church that has like a, it's like this spherical, like steel box bolted to the ground in his garage. Caleb's, Hope's mom and dad have a safe place in their garage. It has this like little trap door that slides open, and in the storms they go down in that place, and they slide the door back. Eat Little Debbie cakes or whatever. Just chill out. Do you know what they do when storms rise, when winds increase, when tornadoes threaten? Do you know what they do when the rest of us are putting helmets on our kids and wrapping them in bubble wrap, throwing them in the bathtub? Do you know what they do when we're packing our closets with pillows? Nothing. They do absolutely nothing. They watch TV until trees start flying and cows start circling. And then they run and they get down in their little bunker and slide the door open and just wait for the thing to go. Listen, this is what David pictures in this text as he talks about the safe place. There is a place for us to hide, a place for us to run. And here's the thing you need to hear today. Many of us wait until the storms hit in our life to try to find the place to go, the place to run, the place to take cover. We try to wait until circumstances get bad, and then we look for the Lord. Then we look for an answer. Then we look for reprieve. But can I tell you today, if you begin right now, if this morning, if you will begin making investments in the calm, you don't have to run in the storm. Right now. You can look to the Lord. This is what David learned. He said, I have built my life on a sure foundation and in a good refuge, a safe place for my soul. Truth is, even though we have refuges and even though we have safe places to run and to hide, David wants us to see that our safest place imaginable is in the Lord himself. He's the place to hide our homes. He's the place to hide our hearts. Listen to me. He's the place to hide our kids. He's the place to hide our hopes. In the Lord alone. I love Psalm 18. It says this, to the choir master, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who addressed the words of the song to the Lord on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Pause for a second. I don't often read the introductions to psalms. Many times we get in the psalms and we're like, give me the meat. Let me get to the verses, right? But can I tell you, that's also inspired. That those headings matter. And what David wants you to see right here in Psalm 18, this is a storm that he had walked out of prior in his life. And what he says out there, he says, when the Lord delivered me from the hand of all of my enemies. He says, on the day when the Lord delivered me out of the storm, here's what I learned. What did he learn? I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock. In whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. You see it? David learned from the previous storms of his life, and that informed the way he saw the storms in his present. After God delivered him from Saul, after God delivered him countless times, and the storms began to dissipate in his life, he was able to testify that the Lord was a fortress. He was a refuge. He was a strong tower. But can I tell you, listen to me, he didn't write this psalm, Psalm 62 or Psalm 18, so that we would wait to find cover one day. That we'd wait for the storms to roll into our lives. That we would wait for chaos and collapse. He wrote these so that we would see there is rest today in God's refuge. Psalm 91, this was written by Moses. It's attributed to Moses. He says this, he says, he who dwells, I want you to listen to these words, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He says, I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. You see that? He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I love Psalm 91 because it makes the point that I believe David learned from the storms in his life. And it's this, if you make your home in a refuge, you don't have to run to one. You hear me? If you make your home in a refuge, you don't have to run to one. Where's your home at, church? Where's your home at? Where are you building your life? Where are you raising your family? Where are you placing your dreams? Where are you running to? David knew where to stand. But he also knew where to run. And so he was able to stare down the storms in his life with great confidence and say, I will wait on the Lord. Finally, I want you to see this. David knew where to stand. He knew where to run. But he also knew where to look. He knew where to look. He believed that God alone is our rescue. Look at verse 9 through 12. It says, those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances, they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. I don't often quote the Message version, but Eugene Peterson, I really love what he did with this. He said, two times nothing equals nothing. That's how he translates that verse. Those of low estate are nothing, he says. Those of high estate, those who think they are safe and secure and accomplished, he said, they're nothing. Two times nothing is nothing. Here's what he's pointed. He says, we are nothing in our own ability. We have no power over the storms in our life. He goes on, so David says, put no trust in extortion, set no vain hopes on robbery. Follow the logic of this. He says, if riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. And to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. For you will render to a man according to his work. You know, if you watch that show, In the Eye of the Storm, one of the things that's interesting, and if you ever talk to anybody that's a victim of a storm in their life and gives testimony to it, they will say, I can't believe this happened to me. I never thought that we would be the ones
having to seek higher ground and watching everything we loved and knew and worked for float away. I never thought that the tornado would barrel down on my neighborhood, my community. I never thought that the castle I worked hard to build would lay in collapse and ruin. But many of them will just say, man, I'm just so thankful to be alive. Here's what I believe David learned in the prior storms of his life. That all of his power, as the most powerful man in the known world at one time, King David, as powerful as he was powerless. As significant as he was nothing. All of his wealth, a delusion. All of his, strength, a vapor. You know, storms have a way in our lives of humbling us, of showing us who we really are, what we really have become, how strong our foundation truly is. The wind and the rain will expose it. This is what David's saying here at the end. He said, in all of the storms of my life, I've learned where to look. And it's not in my trophy case. It's not in my home I've built. It's not in my career. It's not in the mirror. It's to the Lord. To him alone, he says, belongs power. To him alone belongs steadfast love. Only God is powerful to change. Only God can command the storms. Only God can shape and turn a heart and a soul. God alone is our rescue. Can I ask you today, where are you looking? Where are you looking for rescue? Where are you looking for answers? Where are you looking for purpose? Where are you looking for significance? Where are you looking for meaning? They said, I alone look to the Lord. And so in the storms, the winds picking up, the lightnings ripping across the sky, he was not moved. He was not shaken. Because he knew where to run, he knew where to stand, and he knew where to look. I told you that story about that storm my brother and I endured. That storm did lift. The skies did get bright again. And that storm continued on a path where it would eventually drop a tornado in Murfreesboro, probably less than 5 miles from where I currently live. And it brought incredible devastation to the Blackman community. If you're familiar with the Avenue Shopping Center or maybe Main Event, you've taken your kids there, Main Event would have been like in the direct path of this massive wedge tornado. Well, the very next year in school, it was 2010, I was in chemistry and had a chem lab partner that I met that knew this storm because she and her family were directly impacted by it. This girl showed me this picture of her home. She said, we heard the storm coming and we didn't have a lot of time. All we could do was get our family into this little closet underneath the staircase in the center of our home right before the tornado hit. And she showed me a picture of what was remaining of her home, and all it was the staircase to nothing and the closet underneath. Listen to me. The only reason her family survived, their only salvation, was because they were inside that closet. Listen to me. Can I tell you this morning? David wants you to understand his only rescue, your only rescue, is found in the one that you're in. If you are in Christ, look at me, alone. Nothing else will do. Your career won't do it. Listen, your lineage of your parents' faith won't improve your standing before God. There is no hope for you outside of being found in Christ. The only place. Your wealth, your dreams, your hopes, all of it will lay in ruin one day. Only thing that will last will be if you are found in Jesus. This is what he says in this passage in Psalm 62. He says that power belongs to God. The only power to save, is found in Jesus and Jesus alone. He says that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. That is that word, hesed, that covenant saving love that we talked about last week in Psalm 23. Right, the only hope of eternity, the only place of God's affection being placed on sinners is in Jesus Christ alone. That's what he's saying. So let me ask you this morning, church, where are you standing today? Where are you taking cover? Where are you looking? Where are you looking? What is your foundation resting on? Are you resting on your own accomplishments? On your own charisma, your own abilities, on which you can work, what you believe you can merit, right? In your morality, in your good works. Is that your foundation today? If you want to know the strength of your foundation, then let me just tell you this. The storms in your life will tell you. So some of you are in a storm right now, and everything in your life is being flipped upside down. Everything in your life looks like a debris ball, and you have no stability, no place to rest. Can I tell you today, maybe the same way David learned from his storm, there's a lesson in your life wrapped in lightning. He wants you to see something this morning, that you have no foundation, no place to look, no place to stand, nothing firm on which to rest. Where are you running? Where are you running to? Where is your shelter, your fortress, your strong tower? Are you hiding your own heart and your home, your kids in Christ? Right? Or are you waiting for the next storm and you'll figure it out then? Could you this morning declare with David that God alone is your refuge? And let me conclude with this. Where are you looking? Who has your attention this morning, church? Your affection, your devotion, your heart, your dreams. Where are you looking? Maybe this morning, what the storm wants to reveal in your own life is that you don't have it together. You can't deliver yourself. You're powerless. And maybe this morning, this psalm, what David wants you to learn is to get your eyes up. And get your eyes up to the one who is powerful to save. The one who can actually do something about it. If you want to have confidence, if you want to have confidence in the Lord, if you want to have the confidence of Psalm 62, turn your eyes to God alone and pray for us. Father, I love you. God, I ask that you would help us to see in the storms of our own life a lesson you're wanting to tell us. Not to just wish for them to pass over us, God, so we can get back about our life the way it was, God. But maybe this morning, the lesson of this psalm is to see the storms of our lives as not burdens, but maybe blessings, God. Lessons for our souls, God. Maybe the reason that our marriages are on the rocks. Maybe the reason that our finances are crippled. Maybe the reason that our relationships are crumbling and everything in our lives is spiraling out of control is because, God, you're wanting to actually show us something, to teach us something. You want us to learn from this, God. What is it you want us to see? And I believe it's to see that you are our rest alone. Our only hope, our only sure and steady foundation, our only strong tower and refuge, God, to run, and the place, God, that we ought to look. Lord, I pray if there's someone in this room that doesn't know you today, Lord, maybe they've come in here just riddled with storms in their life, Lord, that maybe today, by your great grace and mercy, you would lift their eyes up to see Jesus. And Lord, that they would see him as a beautiful place on which to run, to rest, and they would receive the great welcome of the gospel, Lord. Lord, I pray that they would throw themselves at you, asking for salvation, turning away from all other things and looking to Christ alone. And Lord, for those of us in the room that have walked with you for many years, but maybe life has thrown us a curveball. Maybe right now, Lord, it feels like things are dark and dim. Lord, I just pray, God, that you would show us where to rest. Show us where our hope comes from. Show us where our confidence is found, and it is found in Christ alone. Will we anchor our hearts there? Will we place our hopes there? Would we build our lives there? Would we point our kids there and turn our eyes there to see Jesus this morning? It's in Christ's name we pray.